Hey, everybody. Yes! Yes! Been a long time
since. Wow, that was a real one.
Today we had to bring it back because we're 123 episodes in.
Yeah.
Everybody, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by a guy who, I don't know this for a fact, but I could see him using magic tricks to pick up women.
Oh, no.
In his youth.
Oh, no.
The great, magical Chris Schaefer.
Did you talk to someone? Did someone spill the beans? Because that's, ironically, Jason, you make up a lot of stories about me, but that one is ironically completely true. In college, that is absolutely something that I did.
Did you have a magician name? Did you have like a street name? Like,
oh,
a,
man, a, you just, you're, are you sure
show name?
You weren't the TV interviewer at some time? Because you ask excellent questions. Yes, I did have a name. It was a silly name for when I did stuff.
What was it?
For kids. Abaduba is just a silly.
Say that again.
Abaduba. Yeah, so
that was it.
It's just a silly.
Hey, everybody, my name is Jason Rothman. I'm joined by Abaduba, the magical.
I would do little things for kids, you know, like a little church event or something like that, you know, and a little thing, you know, like a lock in, and I'd do some magic, and yeah, it was just fun stuff.
What was your number one trick?
Probably one of my favorites was a dice trick where it looked like I would change the dots on a dice. I'd say, right, if you always flip this way, the dice would be this number. And I'd flip it and flip it and flip it. And the thing about dice is you can roll it double in your fingers, and it would look like I was physically moving the dots on it. I would kind of manipulate them. It was very visual, and literally all you had to have was just a pair of dice in your hands. They weren't trick dice. They were just normal dice. And that was a lot of fun. That would always get a lot of reactions.
Well,
there you go.
I know you're making your training. I know you're making your training videos here coming up, where people can get into the mind of the great Chris Schaefer. Is there any chance you can mix some magic tricks with this AdWords training course? I think that would help bump sales.
You know, I put a lot of time into AdWords, and I put zero time into magic tricks now because I think I'm too old, and nobody's really impressed anymore. So
you got that right.
Yeah,
that right.
And I put it to sleep. That's the end of that.
Abadoobadoobadoobo. Okay.
I shouldn't have shared that.
So everybody, today's episode, as always, is sponsored by Directive Consulting. We appreciate them supporting the show. They offer free custom proposals at directiveconsulting.com. They are the number one go-to B2B and enterprise search marketing agency for paid search, search engine optimization, content, directiveconsulting.com. So, Chris, today we're going to start off with the iTunes review of the week. It's from a listener named Jared, and he left us a very interesting, entertaining, yes, funny review. And I wanted to read it on the show, and I had planned to. But Jared kind of bumped up in line and kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I go on Twitter to look how your tweet is doing about our last episode, and I've got to see, can't believe my well-crafted iTunes review didn't make the segment. Mm-hmm. Hashtag better luck next time, and then a smiley face. Well, you know what, Jared? I had planned to read your review in an upcoming episode. The thing is, we have thousands and thousands of listeners, Jared. We probably have hundreds that are just named Jared themselves. And we can't read every iTunes review the first week it's up. We have hundreds. So, Jared, since you wrote in, I thought you wanted us to read your most recent write-in every time. And so I'm just going to read it again there. Can't believe my well-crafted iTunes review didn't make the segment. Hashtag better luck next time. Smiley face. Jared, thank you for writing into us on Twitter. Yeah. So if you guys have an iTunes review and a dollop of patience, you can leave us your review at iTunes, and we will read it here on the show. Maybe not within the first 24 hours, but at some point at a reasonable basis. So thank you guys for leaving us reviews. Chris, today's title of the episode, we don't have the title yet, but it's going to be something about transitioning from broad keywords, automated strategies, to targeted keywords, deep in the funnel, and manual bidding. And some people may go, hey, I thought you guys were all about broad keywords now. I thought you were all about target CPA. Whoa, 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 whoa. We like to experiment with each other. We like to see what's going on. And we try out different things. We see if we can make magic in the AdWords accounts.
Oh, boy.
But traditionally, we still do a lot of deep in the funnel keywords. We still do a lot of manual keywords because that's what worked for years. And we're old dinosaurs in this game. So, Chris, why don't you explain to everybody why you wanted to talk about how to actually transition to what we've talked about on most of these episodes? Like, what's the catalyst for this?
Yeah, so number one is this was a requested topic. It was specifically asked by listeners through our contact page on our website, paidsearchpodcast.com. We read every one of those, and whether it goes to the PPC questions and answer show or we consider it as a topic here, this was a request. And basically, what I've found is I do a lot of training and, you know, I talk to a lot of people just with free consultations and we just chat a little bit about AdWords. And what people often say is, listen, I've got this monster in front of me. I've got this campaign that's got 2 years of data, 6 months of data. You know, I've spent $3,000, $10,000 on all this stuff. I don't know where to go. I mean, it feels like I've got a giant rock in front of me. How do I chisel away at this thing? Where do I take it? So this episode is dedicated to chipping away at the rock that you have in front of you based on broad reach, maximize clicks. You know, you've got a campaign that if Jason and I looked at it, we'd be like, oh, you not really hitting the high points here. You know, you're kind of missing the boat. This is where we're going to take you. We're going to take you how to go with something that's broad reach, automated bidding, getting a lot of search traffic that's just not ideal, it's not on topic, and how you can step by step bring it down to something that's functional, that's workable. And the good news is, and Jason has created a perfect outline, Jason, applause to you, on how to accomplish this simply. The good news is when you're done with this, the goal for the end of this is it should be doable. It should be something like, oh, okay, I can do that. I can, you know, even if you have 3,000 keywords, we want you to be able to still say, oh, okay, I can do this. That doesn't sound too overwhelming. That's the goal.
Well, Chris, that's a great idea for an episode. And I really do think I was a little skeptical when you first told me about this episode. I was like, how are people going to just off the bat be able to do this? But I really do think after talking it through with you and doing the outline, people are going to be able to listen to us today and try something different in their campaigns and see if it works for them. Now, Chris, my first tip, and I want to see if you agree with this, is we have the whole thing itself, the campaign. And a lot of work goes into campaigns in terms of getting the location set up, bid adjustments on locations, audiences, income levels, negative keywords built up, negative keyword list built up. And when you combine all that work that goes into kind of the bones of a campaign, and then the intimidation of creating a new campaign and trying something new, my mindset is to just copy the old campaign, paste it, pause the old campaign, and to do this for two reasons. One is the listeners will always have their old campaign there sitting untouched. If things don't work out on the new campaign, they can always go back to at least the way it was, totally untouched. And the second reason is because, like I said, all those things get built up into a campaign. Negative keywords, bid adjustments, locations, all that kind of
stuff. Add extensions, so, all that stuff, yeah.
Add extensions. Man, that stuff is so annoying to add over and over.
Yeah, sure.
So do you agree that the first step is to just go to your campaign's area of Google Ads, copy the campaign in question, paste it, and then pause it while you're working on the pasted version, but of course pause the old one in general? Do you think that's a good first step?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I totally agree. I think the bones is not really what we're getting at here. There's no real strategy on how to write really good call outs or how to choose the best geographic targeting. You know, I mean, it's pretty black and white. Either you target this area, you target this state, you target this nation. It's pretty simple and straightforward. A lot of this stuff's going to transfer over whether you're doing maximized clicks or you're doing manual bidding. So totally agree. I think this step that I would say after you copy to make things simple, highlight all those ad groups that are from the old one and delete everything out. I'm going to say start completely fresh. So when you copy and paste that campaign, delete all the ad groups And then we'll get into step two about how to add the ad groups. But I think you're completely right. The bone structure of the campaign, which is going to be the settings, location, ad schedule, the ad extensions, all of that, that needs to be transferred over seamlessly. And that's the easiest way to do it.
And once you transfer, once you paste that new campaign, go into the new, we'll just call it the new campaign. Go into the new campaign, delete those ad groups, not pause them, just remove. Delete the ad groups.
I would say delete them because
I agree.
Because your historical data is going to be preserved on your old campaign. That's where you're going to want to look at your search terms for our next tip on where to go from here. That's where you're going to get information on search terms, keyword volumes, you know, ads that you used, you know, stuff like this. So I do not want anyone to start off and then copy and paste and then try and somehow clean up what's already there. No, we want to clean house completely. Start with a fresh palette and start completely clean. And that leads us into the second one, ad group structure. So the idea on this for ad group structure is, Jason, I'll let you kind of give an idea, an example of what you would, how you would approach it. I don't care what industry you're in, whether it's a service or a product, whether it's B2B or B2C. What I want you to do is visualize basic concepts for each of the keywords. Look at your search terms and find common denominators across all of your terms. So if you do car repair, there might be a term that is wreck, you know, or windows or door or dings or dent. These are general terms that don't get into the word car or repair. These are the secondary terms. This is what I want you literally to grab a piece of paper. I say grab a piece of paper because I do better this way. Just grab a piece of paper. Don't worry about your screen yet. And write out just basic terminology, these basic things. If it's geographic terms, grab a couple city names in the area. Scratch this out on a piece of paper. And now, after you've done that, I mean, you know, 10 might be too many. 6 might be a more appropriate number. 12 might be enough. I mean, it's going to depend on how much budget you have and how much diversity you're going to create with these secondary terms, but don't go overboard. The last thing you want to do, if you have 36 ad groups in your old one or 300 keywords in your old one, I want you to create a fraction of those in the new one. You don't want to go from more complexity to even more complexity. That's not really moving the right direction. You want to go from more to less. So go with less themes, less subcategories, write those out on a piece of paper. Then we use those to build more ad groups. That's my idea. Jason, do you think that works for most people? What do you think?
Yeah, I came up with the same mindset of now we did the campaign, copied it in. Now we got to fill it up with ad groups. And I had the same mindset of you as, and everyone listening, this isn't hyperbole. It's not, we're just using phrases here. It's actually do this. Pull out a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Not a computer. No, a real piece of paper and a pen. And write down what my version of saying this, Chris, but I thought of the same thing, actually writing it on a piece of paper, was to write down your services. So, you know, for me, Chris, that would just be Google Ads Management. That's my one service. For you, it would be Google Ads Management, Google Ads Consulting,
yeah.
Google Ads sure. Training, Google Ads, maybe audit or optimization. So you would only have 3 or 4. I would only have 1.
And that's fine.
And I thought another... Yeah. And that's fine because that's the truth. That's all I do, one service. And then I have this other service just called Dance Pony that if someone pays enough money, this pony will dance.
This pony will dance, yeah.
But so, Chris, that's an example with our businesses. But, you know, I always talk about movers, so I'll continue that theme. It's very simple. You don't have to have a keyword research tool for this. You don't have to even look at search terms for this.
If you own
a moving company besides reforming your life after getting a felony, what else do? You have a handful of services. You do office moves. You do piano moves. You do long distance moves. Well, you try to do long distance moves. You don't really know if you're regulated in each state. You don't know how that works, but it's a lot of money. So you'll say you do long distance moves. And then the other thing that, yes, this takes a little more AdWords training, but you have it if you have an old campaign to look at, is the geo keywords.
Yep.
So we like having... We're making our ad groups here. So the final ad group for a mover, office movers, piano movers, long distance. The final one is residential moving. But how do people search for residential moving? They search Movers Dallas, moving companies Fort Worth, Movers in Denton. Movers in whatever the fourth city is up there in Dallas. So I like listing out like the main service, in this case moving, another case it could be computer repair, and then the major geos and suburbs you want to target. I would just say like Oklahoma City, Edmond, Stillwater, Tulsa, just whatever the cities are, I would just list them out as the ad group names. And that's basically it. Listing out on a piece of paper the services you do, and those will translate into your handful of ad groups. And the only caveat to that is geo terms. You want to have different geos for each ad group. One geo gets its own ad group.
Yeah. And the reason, just to restate what we say all the time, the reason you have a different geo for each ad group is because if I search Dallas, I want to see Dallas movers. If I search Fort Worth, I want to see Fort Worth movers. You may not be in that city, but you provide service in that city. If you are a service provider, now, if you are a local store, if you have a certain store, someone has to come to you in order to use the services, then that's not the case. So just to be clear on
good point, good point. Not recommending that you misplace the location. It's basically if someone called you and said, hey, I need a mover. You're in Dallas, I'm in Fort Worth. Do you want my business? And you said, yes, okay. Yes. Then you should target
Fort Worth.
Then
you're a Fort Worth mover, yeah.
Right, but if you run a hardware store in Dallas and someone calls you, you go, hey, I need to go to your hardware store. And they go, okay, we're located at this address in Dallas. And the person goes, oh, I'm not going to drive 45 minutes to go to a hardware store and pass 20 of them. I'm not coming to you. Well, then you don't want to target Fort Worth as an ad group.
All right, so the next thing is going to be what everybody chomps at the bit on, right? It's the keywords, okay? But before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsor, Directive Consulting. You've heard us talk about them many times, and today I've got another example to share with you about the kind of services and results they can offer your business. Just go to directiveconsulting.com and click the button that says Get Custom Proposal, and you'll be in touch with a search marketing agency that specializes in B2B lead generation. So today's example from Directive Consulting's work is with a company in the cybersecurity industry, okay? Something that is close to my heart because I've worked with several companies that are in the same industry. And here's the thing. Let me tell you, this is no easy industry to get results in. The traffic is difficult to find. The keywords aren't easy to isolate, and the conversion rates are tough to optimize. I've been there. I know. But here's the thing. Directive Consulting did it for a cybersecurity company called SentinelOne, despite the complexity of the industry. This is why we recommend these guys, is because they can work in these complicated industries. That's what makes Directive Consulting so different from other agencies. They can get results from these complicated B2B industries like cybersecurity. So what they do? So in this example, they were able to increase their digital leads of the company they're working with by 241%, their leads by 241%, increase their organic traffic by 159%, and increase their bounce rate by 12%. That sounds impressive, doesn't it? I mean, that's pretty awesome. These results are just an example of what Directive Consulting can do for your business. Want to know how? There we go. Go to directiveconsulting.com, request a free proposal. They know what they're doing, and they can get results in your industry too.
Thank you, Chris. Now, Chris, we did campaigns, we did ad groups. Now, before we move on to keywords, let's talk about physically, how you and I would add these ad groups, because you went full Rambo on us and said, delete all the ad groups in the new campaign.
Yeah.
So we can't edit them anymore. What I would do is I would create one ad group so you have it in there. Put a BS keyword in there, like keyword, whatever, then delete that keyword. Don't make any ads yet, or make ads, whatever, but just have an ad group there. And I would just copy and paste one ad group until it's two, then highlight two, copy two till it's four, copy four till it's eight, or however many you need, and then just go through and name them. Would you do something different? That's how I would do it.
No, I think that mine's going to be just a very slight variation on that. What I would do is, I'm completely with you, ignore the ads. do not write ads. Do not put ad writing at this phase of the process. I completely agree. Ad writing, I often find, and I'm sure you agree, ad writing can be some of the most time-consuming part of your campaign build because the creativity juices have got to start flowing. And you've got to come up with different ways to say the same kind of things. And they need to be unique. They need to be different from everyone else. They can't be the same kind of language. So skip ad writing. The only thing I would say that I do a little different, and this is just preference. This is just habit. I create a new ad group. I throw in just basic terms. I put just a kind of placeholders. I use broad keywords. I put placeholders like Office Movers Dallas, Office Movers Near Me, office moving companies. You know, I'll grab just three or four in there just to kind of make sure in case I get interrupted and I have to walk away from my desk, you know, come back tomorrow and work on it. I know what this keyword ad group was supposed to be about. That's the only thing.
Smart.
So, and then I do exactly like you said, I just create a bare bones ad group, no ads with keywords, ad group, no ads with keywords. And then add it when it's all over, I might have 6, 8 ad groups that are ready for new keywords to be placed in. You know, then we start from there. Get with phrase match, broad match, all that kind of stuff. We diversify from there.
Right. Okay, I like it. Now, Chris, getting into the keywords, what I would do from here is pretty simple. I would go into my handful of ad groups, and if it was office movers as the ad group, I would just start typing in keywords. I would use exact. I would use phrase. I would use long broad match modified phrases. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use two word. When I didn't have to, I would not use two word broad match modified. They can lead to a lot of trouble. So I probably wouldn't have moving companies broad match modified. Office movers is a little different because it's so niche.
But
I would just be very careful with that.
For example, if what Jason's talking about is if you put Dallas Movers as a modified broad, that's going to cover every niche that Jason talked about previously. The long distance, the piano, the office, the residential. Now you're suddenly going to take all this work you did with this niche stuff, and you're going to start getting office stuff into this Dallas Movers keyword. That's not a bad thing, except for the fact that your ads and possibly your landing page aren't prepared for those niche terms. That's why Jason's talking about not having two keyword broad match modifier words in there, because it negates all the work of what you do with this niche stuff. It's going to be a natural phenomenon that the niche keywords will have less volume, and they will just naturally flow to these broader terms. These broader terms will pull in all this niche, and then it kind of it negates everything you've worked on.
Right, and a way to an example of that is something like a word like bathroom remodel. Like, so if you do bathroom remodeling, and you do bathroom remodel broad match modified, two words, bathroom remodel broad match modified, you can show up on tons and tons of different stuff.
Definitely.
This celebrity did a bathroom remodel. This designer's bathroom remodel tips. There's just a ton of stuff you can show up on. But if you do bathroom remodel Boston, three words, broad match modified, it's very hard for someone to be searching for something totally off if the word Boston has to be in that search as well, or the word near me, or the word companies. So that's why I'm trying to get more and more away from two-word broad match modified. So beyond that, a lot of exact, a lot of phrase. And Chris, in terms of coming up with the keywords, this is where it gets tough with the new interface. I guess what we could say is use the plus keywords button, see what comes up in there, see if it matches your ad group. Use the keyword planner to look for ideas. Maybe not, you'll have to play around with it to get it to tell you what you want, but there are ways to get ideas from that. But basically, if you're in the state that you're in for this episode where you already have a campaign, you should have search terms and keyword data already.
Yes.
And just move that into the proper ad groups. And basically any way someone can search for, in this case, an office mover, office moving companies, all the geo ways they can search that, maybe the word commercial, but that's pretty much it. And for a lot of industries, Chris, people know how people describe their industry and just use those as keywords and see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with your knowledge of your own industry, your own company, your own clients, how they search for something, and your search terms, you should have all the information you need to make good decisions about these subcategory niche terminology keywords. This is not the time. We'll do another episode sometime about keyword research. Keep your $300 keyword research tool on the shelf. Don't pull this out. That is how you got into this problem in the first place, is because you took some SEO guy's 500-row list of all the great keywords and tried to dump it into an AdWords campaign that didn't have a place for it. And now you have ad groups that have 600 keywords in them, you know, and you have 400 ad groups, and it's just a mess. Half the stuff on there has no impressions. A bunch of other things have low quality scores, and basically 90% of the clicks come from the top 2% of the keywords. Congrats, you have a mess. That's where we're trying to get to. So keep that volume. This is not a time for volume. Volume will come later. That comes during the optimization process.
Now, Chris, let me give everyone a great example of why skags suck and why a small amount of ad groups is better for AdWords. You mentioned earlier, what if I have a word like movers in Oklahoma City as a keyword in the Oklahoma City geo ad group? If someone does a search office movers in Oklahoma City, that residential ad could show and the office movers could not show. So it mixes things up. Well, if you have a small amount of ad groups, you can control what ad groups get their ads to show up on different searches through the use of ad group negative keywords. And ad group negative keywords are negative keywords that are not tied to the campaign or the account. They're tied to, or the campaign, I should say, they're not tied to the campaign. They're tied to the ad group. So I could add the negative keyword office as a negative keyword at the ad group level for the Oklahoma City ad group. And that way the Oklahoma City ad group with keywords like movers in Oklahoma City would never show if the search included office. And I could add the word office to every other ad group because there's only probably 7 of them or 10, every other ad group besides the office ad group. So that way I force the system to show my office ad with my office landing page when someone does an office mover search, and it won't get tied up with another ad group. So that's just, you can't do that. You can, but it's not really feasible if you have 200 ad groups, because it's just too much to add, too much to keep track of. You're going to end up making mistakes. But if you only have 10 ad groups, it's very easy, Chris, to add the word office 10 times to different ad groups and really control things.
Yeah, there's too much crossover. There's too much overlap when you have 200 ad groups versus 10. You know, I think about, I have some young nephews, and I hear my sister say all the time, "You're in my bubble," right? Because, you know, they don't really get that whole like personal space thing. These ad groups need some personal space. They each need their own little spot. And when you get 200 of them into a little room, they're bumping into each other's bubbles. You got to respect their bubbles.
Mm. Right, right.
All right. So I know you're the king of whatever it is you're the king of. So I tried my best. I don't think I really hit a Jason.
No, that's a great metaphor. I was just thinking of all those guys in college that you were picking up their girlfriends with your magic tricks. How about you respect my relationship bubble? Their relationship. And then you were all like, if there's not a ring, then I'm the king.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Chris? You didn't respect it unless it was a marriage.
That's true.
Kind of like how you talk about me and my girlfriend. You make a lot of comments where you call her the person I live with.
The person you live with, right?
Things like that.
The person you're sharing your home with.
Because I haven't put a ring on it yet.
That's right. Yeah.
But that'll change. It's coming.
Okay. Sure.
But
all right. One day. Okay.
Chris, shut up and talk about bids, you little monkey. So, Chris, what are... My main point with bids, Chris, and again, this gets back to a small number of ad groups. This is all about doing what we preach, manual, deep in the funnel keywords, transitioning to that and making it easy. So what's the easiest thing to start off with, Chris? Going to your keywords column, deleting every, highlight all, and then save your bids with no bid, which deletes them. So you don't have any keyword level bids, and control the bids at the ad group level, your 10 ad groups, and then you only have 10 bids to worry about. And I've learned this from you. I manage bids at the keyword level all the time, Chris. But since you told me that a lot of times you deep into a campaign's history, you'll manage bids at the ad group level.
Yeah.
A little light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, you know what? That is so much simpler and easier. And it helps protect you from making bad decisions. Because if I see a keyword that got a bad CPA in the last 14 days, maybe that's not enough data on that keyword. And maybe I'm making a bad decision before that keyword turns around and proves itself. And to save me from that, I can look at the ad group level cost per conversion. If all those keywords are supposed to be the same. So it's a great place to start. Set your bids at the ad group level. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was what we said at the very beginning was we want to approach this at a simplicity level. And the last thing I want you to do is worry about keyword percentage bid differences for every one of these keywords that you're adding. Don't worry about it. Just go to your old campaign. Look at what your average CPC was and go up a little bit from that. If it's a $275 bid, put it at $3, maybe $350, something like that. Just to start off with, this is a guess. Bids are always a guess until you know what's going to happen. And this is going to be a big difference between what you're doing before and what you have now. Before, you had a giant jungle of a mess. Now you have something clean and organized you can start off with and actually see what's happening and not be intimidated by it the moment you open the campaign. And you'll be able to assess bids. And yeah, Jason, I do. I have plenty of accounts that are years and years old that still have the majority of the keywords run at the ad group level bid. We won't get too nerdy on them here, but basically Google doesn't always rely just, well, never relies just on your bid. It's ad rank that determines your placement. Bid is half of that factor. When it comes down
also,
to it,
like with an enhanced CPC, when that's turned on, I think,
oh gosh,
everyone can check me, but I think it changed from we can up or decrease your bid by 30% to we can up or decrease your bid to whatever we want.
Yeah.
Depending on how likely we think a conversion is. So yeah, bids are, can definitely be rearranged with other things.
Yeah, if you have that
on.
Checkbox turned on, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, that's cute. Look at that. You put a little bid in there. We'll take that into account. Thanks. Yeah,
now, Chris, that's it for bids. Just set bids at the ad group level. Now, everyone would say, well, I don't want my to pay the same for a beautiful exact match keyword as I do for a broad match modify keyword. Well, then my pushback would be, well, then why do you have that broad match modify keyword in there? Mm-hmm. To start with, is it pulling in a bunch of garbage because it's only two words long? Maybe you shouldn't be targeting it. Maybe you should be targeting a more locked down broad match modify keyword with more keywords in the phrase that's going to perform equally as well as an exact match phrase. You just want to show up on all the different ways someone can search what's equivalent to that exact match phrase. And then the other thing, Chris, how do I know what to set my bids at? Don't get too hung up on that. Just look at what your old cost per click was in the old campaign. Set it somewhere near there, and then just see how the positions come in as you start getting data and adjust from there. If your positions are too low, increase. If they're too high and you're spending all your budget quickly, decrease a bit. So that's bids. Now, Chris, the whole point of this has been simplicity, but I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to do Chris at age 19 and say abracadabra. We're no longer preaching simplicity when it comes to ads. With ads, the beauty of non-skagging is that we only have a handful of ad groups. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to preach to everybody, all that time you save from all the earlier stuff we talked about, use that time to throw out simplicity and get highly complex on your ads. Mm. Test out 7 ads on each ad group, maybe 10 ads. Test out all the different ways that you can talk about office moving in the office moving ad groups. And have all the other ad groups have nothing to do with office moving. But on the office moving ad group ads, go to town with all the different things that go into an office move, all the things a business owner would want to see about an office move. Basically, since there's only a handful of ad groups, with ads, you've got the time and the control to go as deep and complex. You don't have to, but you can if you want to, now that you only have a controlled amount of ad groups. Does that make sense, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. And let Google rotate them. That's my suggestion. Jason, if someone's going to create that many ads, let Google rotate them and pick the best winner. I think that's the next simplicity about ads. That's what I would recommend at this point.
Yeah.
You're not at a point of optimization at the heaviest level to be able to make, you know, such A and B choices on ads. Let it be A, B, C, D, E, and let Google rotate them all. And let it pick the winners for right
exactly.
Now. So, all right.
Chris, do you like when I call you Chris? Or do you want me to call you the guy who sells yogurt to women? Or do you want me to call you the magician? Or do you want me to call you my little show pony? The reason I ask is because I never click that evil button on Twitter, Chris, the at mentions button. I never click it except like once a month I get curious. So I've got to go on there the other day and see some guy telling you, getting in your ear, my friend's ear, trying to break us apart, that I'm doing some kind of weird hypnosis,
checking on
persuasion
tactic,
kind of
yeah.
voodoo stuff on you by calling you your first name yeah. throughout the show.
You do that.
He said that, like, he was like, Jason is using some kind of like voodoo managerial influence mm-hmm. persuasion mm-hmm. kind of thing by saying your first name.
I believe it.
And why do I have to read that? And I don't know this person. This person should never get in my face and say such a ridiculous claim, such a slanderous claim. But I've got to go on Twitter
and
see
it.
That someone's talking about that. And so I'm just going to ask you straight up, man to man, do you want me to call you Shazam or whatever you said your magician name is? Do you want me to call you, say, your CrossFit ID number in your national rankings? Do you want me to call you my tiger hubby or whatever your wife's pet name is for you? Or do you just want me to call you Chris because that's your first name? Do you have any problems with that?
Chris.
I just want to get it on the record. Is Chris fine?
Chris is fine. Pressed with those choices, Chris is wonderful. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I hope you understand that I'm just calling you your name.
Yes.
I'm not doing it for any weird intents and purposes, and you're just your name is Chris, yeah. So I say Chris.
Yeah, I'm just glad you remember my name. Most people, meet me and forget my name pretty quick, so I'm just glad. It's always a reminder, Jason knows who I am. Jason
okay.
knows my name.
Now, Chris, you have some nice notes here to wrap this show up and kind of bring things all together, so I'd love to hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe those are your notes. Okay, you want me to read your notes?
Are they really my notes? Chris, if those are my notes, Chris, I was at the hospital all day yesterday. I'm a little shaky today.
Okay.
I've had one cup of yogurt that Chris sells to women. It happened to be in my fridge. And I had that. That's all I've had to eat today. So I'm a little shaky. Did I really write something that
great? You did.
Great?
I did not. You please.
Okay, wow.
Please,
then I'll read
it.
My own notes,
you
Chris.
Read it.
That is amazing. Okay, so... to wrap this thing up, at the end of this episode, at the end of doing this, because seriously, you should re-listen to this episode right now, and as you're listening to it again, go through your own account and set up your new campaign, because what do you have to lose, Chris? Nothing, because you just pause your old campaign,
yeah,
and you're not going to do any damage to it.
It's still there.
Still there if you want to go back to it. So at the end of this, you should really go through and do what we said, and at the end of that process, you should look at your five... in my case, my business, one, Chris, one ad group to start with. But you should look at your 5 to 15 ad groups and fall in love with them. You should breathe easy saying, wow, I get it. Now I have a manageable amount of ad groups. Keywords in their own ad groups that all make sense. And ads that show that match those keywords, no matter how many there are, 20, 30 in an ad group. Everything is clean, organized, ready to run, and ready to make great management decisions with new ads, with negative keywords at the ad group level. It's all there for you. So that's how you should look at this at the end of it. So Chris, with that said, I'm going to give a shout out to Directive Consulting, directiveconsulting.com. Get your free custom proposal. We appreciate their support. Number one go-to B2B and enterprise search engine marketing agency. Chris, people are listening to this show on Monday. I heard a little birdie say that the training courses are going to be ready on Friday.
I'm going to try.
Is that true?
No, it's definitely not.
Okay.
I'm going to try.
Joe, what's the update? Everyone wants to know an update here, Chris.
I'll let you know. Listeners, you will be the first to know. Also, be sure and follow us on Twitter, Paid Search Pod.
Chris, can I give you a tip with your getting these training videos up? Mm-hmm,
please.
You said you're going to don't try your best, try my best.
Wow. A whole new level. Ladies and gentlemen, they will certainly be something. So...
am I going to get a free copy, Chris?
I'll give you a one-time pass to the engine. Sure.
A one-time pass.
You got to pay for the rest. You want to see it again, you got to pay.
Well, I appreciate that, and I look forward to those coming out, Chris. So with that said, we'll be back next Monday with another episode of the Paid Search Podcast.